The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Huzzah!
There you go. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again, and we're here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all heavy lifting, a ball of innocent energy, a movable object, unstoppable force of nature, slayer of snowflakes, and she has heard more BS than a BOS meeting.
Good morning, everybody.
And the kid that rocks around the clock with a faster than speeding internet connection more powerful than that. Yeah, never mind.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's going to be one of them kind of days, is it?
Well, I'm already one Red Bull in. I still got the other one right here. Let's go.
I know. He walks in. It's like, boy, you're double-fisted this morning with the Red Bulls.
I like Red Bull. I had a Red Bull. I'm going to have another Red Bull.
I like it, like it, like it.
There's absolutely no side effects.
It doesn't do anything for me.
You want a Red Bull? I got a Red Bull. Here's a Red Bull.
Here, I'll be happy to share it with you. I think Liam is in there.
Liam!
Good morning, Liam!
Are you in the building?
He's in the building somewhere.
Anyway, doing a great job as our producer in there. We are brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent. She is down there in Red Bluff at 810 Main Street, 530-527-5534. She's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs.
She is. And then we have Crackmasters. Don't forget Jeff Wurst over at Crackmasters. He's over here on 273. He's got 30 years of experience in windshield repair. He actually guarantees his work. He's the only business within 500 miles that can fix long cracks and chips larger than a quarter. So give him a call at 530-241-8373.
Wow, that's hard to...
you have to be careful.
Okay. Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating.
My stepchild.
530-605-9575. Licensed and bonded. A shout out to Marty McGill at Clear Creek Microgreens. Mountaintopmedia.com.
Yes.
Had a meeting last night. I think that's good. I really like the new website design, too.
It's getting there.
It looks a lot better with the... I like blue, anyway, as a general rule, instead of brown. So
there's a lot of places we can go there.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That was wide open there.
There you go. Shout out to Big O Tires, Jay and the gang.
Before we move on about Mountaintop Media or in general with the radio programs, I just want to put it out there. You know, if you have a story or something you want us to put on the air, if you, you know, want to come in but you want to remain anonymous, we can do that. Whatever you need, but we're willing to start looking at more stories and getting more content that on stuff that maybe you find that needs to be put out there in our community. You know, there's so much going on, and we're in a big fight. So if you want to give us a call at 530-221-0101. And we can do podcasts, we can do radio, we can do several things, just depending what you're comfortable with.
There you have it. And so, with that said.
And so, we also have one more. Let me get this out there. We do have a fundraiser for Kevin Cry coming up on August 5th. We are going to be at the Senior Citizen Hall at 2290 Benton Drive here in Reading. Tickets are $50 each. A table of eight is $400. Again, this is going to be August 5th over at the Senior Citizen Hall here in Reading. If you would like tickets, you can go to the Ninja Coalition or Jones Fort, or by calling 530-776-4790. And it's kind of important, we'll be talking about Governor Newsom, so to speak, today about appointing people or not, will be some of the subject matter.
Well, there you have it. All right. I want to get to a couple of clips right away because I know we've got a guest coming on at 10:30.
Yeah.
So I want to start with this one, and this is Buddy Brown. This was last week, and since then he's actually topped his million viewers. So I want to play this, and this kind of gives you an idea of what's going on in the world out there.
Top of the morning, all you patriots of outstanding testicular fortitude and big old hearts. At the time I'm recording this right now, we are 5,000 subscribers away from 1 million. Let that sink in. If you think you're alone in this world and you're the only one that thinks like you do in your community, or you're surrounded by a bunch of blue wave radicals, just understand, these numbers right here, they don't lie. So go ahead and subscribe. All your best friends or future best friends are waiting for you in the comment section. All right. So, in the case of CMT versus Jason Aldean, this court out here in the woods finds CMT not the father. Jason Aldean is your daddy. You know, CMT does remind me of Joe Biden because they've both been on life support for like the last 15 years. You know, but this week, CMT crossed a line, though. They censored his new music video, which is called Try That in a Small Town. Watch it after this, comb through it, and you're going to see what I'm talking about if you haven't already seen it. But he's one of the biggest singers of our time, and CMT has banned this video. Now, you can tell a whole lot about a company by what they're afraid of and what makes them mad. CMT's a bunch of commies, y'all. I've been saying this forever. But his song is about the riots and the punks and the left-wing radicals destroying America's cities. And then the perfect line comes in, which is, try that in a small town. Whenever CMT censors a video, though, I feel like it's a clear indication that this video is going to be awesome. And I watched it. It was. You can't find anything racial in this song with a shovel and a flashlight because it don't exist. Any American of any color who watches this video and sees the freaks that are in this video doing just God knows what is all going to say, these are the kind of people I would never want my family or my community around. Bottom line. And if it's racist, you better tell my buddy Javaris, who lives up in the woods next to me, because he wears cowboy boots and owns more guns than I do. Anything in this community happens that goes down, he's going to have my back and I'm going to have his back at a moment's notice. So if it's racist, that's really scary because you're saying that black people should like riots, that black people should support riots. That's what CMT is actually saying. CMT is actually the racist ones, because I don't know anybody of any color who wants riots coming to their small town. It is up to us to defend our towns. I don't dial 911 out here if something happens. I am 911. When I wrote my biggest song of all time, If This Country Still Had Balls, it was based on an old Western movie where people got hung for rape and murder, as they should. Who wouldn't pull the trigger on somebody like that if it was your friends or your family? Are you kidding me? It's no different than Toby Keith and Willie Nelson singing Take All the Rope in Texas, Find a Tall Oak Tree, Hang Up All Them Bad Boys Out in the Streets. It's no different. But liberals who have an extremely low IQ, they put words where words don't exist and they make it a racial thing. It's my biggest song of all time, and I think it's so huge because it was never on CMT. It was never on the radio. Here's the good news, y'all. We have formed alternative media, and what was once stuck in the underground has now moved up to be the leaders. Hell, on a good night, this channel right here gets more views than CNN's primetime news anchors, and they hate that. Mm-hmm. We're not the silent majority anymore. We gotta quit using that word. We're the majority, period. Silent majority is not a badge of honor at all. Okay, so outspoken and ready to throw down at a moment's notice. I think Jason Aldean is a patriot for this video. I think the best thing about CMT's opinion is that it doesn't matter. He ain't going to sell one less ticket this fall or this summer because CMT won't play his music video on their little channel. His streams are going to increase. His agent's phone is going to ring off the hook. And the woke award shows, who literally nobody watches at this point, they may not feature him anymore, but I feel like people are going to find real music from real outlets.
Thank
you. I'm living proof of it. By the way, this is the perfect time to tell you, my new single, How Trespassers Die, is out and kicking. You'll see the light of day on country radio. That's what's so great about it. Stick to your guns.
So, hold on, let me finish that out.
We are winning, y'all. Be good.
So, How Trespassers Die. I'm going to play that at some point here.
We also, there's a new one out from
Tom McDonald, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is there? I missed that one.
Well, here it is. You can listen to it right now. I have it just keyed up. Here we go.
Country and we're under attack. They banned us, they canceled us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up on your gun, it sees American flag. Give a damn. Anybody who's offended can get it. We throwing hands. Anybody not trying to make America great again. You a pawn, you a clown. Better know where I stand. I'm a white boy with the middle fingers in the air, dog. We don't give a what. 100 white boys gonna hold me down anywhere, dog. We think that you suck. My patriots the craziest. They ain't afraid of breaking fists on faces. If you really want a taste of this, don't say they tip. Just aim the stick and spray the clip. I pray you miss. Cause if you don't, they gon' go wacko. Automatic gun smoke like tobacco. Never hit a lady, but it's pretty hard to tell if you're a girl or a they, them. There's these that goes. I ain't never gonna take a knee for the anthem. Smack them. I don't give a damn. Can't stand them. Gang full of random. Spam with a handgun. Run up in your mansion. Leave it all abandoned. I was raised to be brave to the grave. United States. We love the country that they've been corrupting. Go woke and go broke or if you ain't awake. My people love this country and we're under attack. They banned us. They canceled us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us. Take USA back. And every time we pull up on your gun, it sees American flag.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there and let you guys listen to the rest of that. So what I'm, the reason I really wanted to play both of those is that it gives you a spectrum of different people out there that are saying the same thing. I mean, whether you're in the, I mean, I'm not a big rap fan, but if you don't like the first part of that rap song, I think you're crazy. I mean, American flags, man. I mean, come on. And Tom McDonald's, I think, hitting it out of the park with that. And then, you know, Jason Aldean.
And
a small town. And then you got Buddy Brown, you know. And I think a couple important things that he said about the alternative media. His and this is a little guy down there in Mississippi. His channel is getting more hits than CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to say that we're losing is I think, a mistake. We haven't won. And they're still censoring, and this is still a battle with these people. But people are starting to understand how much they've been lied to about everything. And more people are starting to you know, flee these mainstream media outlets because they're so confused. They don't have the – I mean, what's a fact one week is a lie the next. You know, what's evidence one week is non-existent the next. You know, we're going through all this Trump stuff right now. We're indicted. But, you know, the whole thing, where's the evidence on Trump? They never produced any evidence. We got Adam Schiff that lied about it. They've never convicted him of anything. And now he's being...
Again,
they're going after him with indictments on with no evidence. They got zero evidence. It's just they're going after their political enemies. And then when you talk about Joe Biden, where's the evidence? How much evidence do you need?
They got plenty of evidence, even with Hunter. I'm sorry, with Hunter, and they want to give him amnesty against anything. It's like, okay, really? But you keep hammering Trump over here on stuff that you keep making up. I mean, I keep asking, I guess you don't get double jeopardy if you keep rewording what you're charging somebody with?
So,
I mean, you're constantly, it's the same thing. January 6th.
No proof. They got nothing.
Again,
they
January 6th.
Let me tell you, if they had something, they would have convicted him of it 6 years ago. They got nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And but now you've got, you know, a compromised president and his son getting bribes from foreign countries, Ukraine, you know, Romania, you know, China,
Russia.
You know, tens of millions of dollars. And it's like, Hunter's got a legitimate business. Yeah, he's a crack outlet.
Yeah, and then they hammer the judge because the judge comes back and says, show me where it's constitutional for these provisions that you're wanting. For Hunter Biden,
well,
they're like,
you're talking about the plea bargain deal?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, in the plea bargain deal, what they did was they tried to prevent him from any further litigation or criminal charges forever on anything.
Yeah, and the judge, like amnesty,
And the judge goes, what? Okay, so I have here a little clip that I want. This is for Hunter and Joe. And here we go.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
My child called me up just the other day. He said, Dad, I need some crack. Can you help me today? And I had lots of cash, but bills to pay. He said, don't worry, Dad, I'll find another way. He was smoking for I knew it, and away he flew, saying, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. The hookers and drugs were gonna be there soon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. I'll be good and high by then, Dad. Yeah, I'll be good and high by then.
Picking through the rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resembled crack cocaine.
I'm very proud of my son.
My son came around just the other day. He said, I got me a deal where we can both get paid. Can I trade on your name? I said, sure, okay. Will anyone know? He said, no, no way. And as he walked away, he looked kind of dim and said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him.
He's fixed it. He's worked on it.
And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. Ukrainian bribes were gonna be there soon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. I'll put aside your 10%, Dad. I'll always have your 10%.
So, honey, what are you doing? I said, Dad, I'm fine. He said, you're not fine.
I know how to game the system. Come on. Come on.
Well, he came from Kiev just the other day. Had a smile so big I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. How's our cash supply? He nodded his head and said, great big guy, but what I really need, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. You can take the vet, but watch the boxes, please. And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. Classified papers all over the room. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. I'm getting good and high again, Dad. I'm getting good and high again.
He pointed out the reason why he regrets it is he didn't anticipate that folks like Giuliani would use it to, in fact, try to embarrass his father. Yes, they are. They're flat thugs. Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
I stole an election and my son moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, you owe some cash, I want my cut today. He said, calm down, Dad, you know it's on the way. But my laptop is gone and now it's on you. And now we're both really screwed, Dad. And now we're both gonna be screwed. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he was damn near dumber than me. My boy was dumb as me. And there was Hunter in the basement with a silver spoon. All of our crimes were coming out real soon. When's it all end, son? I don't know when. But we're gonna end up in the pen, Dad. We're both gonna be in the pen.
I am absolutely certain, 100% certain, that at the end of the investigation, that I will be cleared of any wrongdoing.
God save the Queen, man.
That tipped Randy on that one. The real deal is there's so much impact from that, but they can't hide this anymore. Will they go to the pen? Probably not, because they're the Biden crime family has got everybody in the tank. You got all his top lieutenants, if you will, in places of power to stop anybody from getting prosecuted. And this projection thing has gone on so bad. If you said that Trump's colluding with the Russians, you can count on Joe and the boys colluding with the Russians. If they say Trump is doing something wrong, you can count on them doing it wrong themselves, because that's what the criminals do. That's what the mafia does. That's what a crime family does. Anything that they're accused of, they point directly at the other person who's their target. and accuse them of exactly the same thing. Why? So that they can get all of the attention put on someone else besides themselves. And so now they can't hide from this anymore. Is anything going to happen? No, because you got a criminal organization running the rules. And so, and it's very apparent from what we've seen in this last plea deal with Hunter. They try,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's off the charts how far away we've gone from the rule of law and any blind justice is, you know, justice isn't blind anymore, just blind. You know, there is no justice. So.
Yeah, it's crazy times, that's for sure.
So the laptop from hell is coming back in spades to haunt these people. And,
well, there's so much that's coming back to haunt them. I mean, the evidence is just getting more overwhelming, But like you say, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen on Hunter Biden when they go back to court? You know, hopefully the judge will still stick
with
the stance.
I got no hope at all. I trust none of these people anymore. I mean, it's good that this judge probably finally did something right, but how many times has justice been served here in the last 6 years? I mean, they've been going endlessly after Trump with zero evidence, and they won't go after somebody where the evidence is completely overwhelming. I mean, you got the guy, you know, taking bribes from Ukraine, taking bribes from China. You got the guy on the board of Burisma saying that he's taking bribes. The firing the prosecutor because Hunter's illegal. They got no business. They got I don't even know how many business accounts now, LLCs that are all over the place,
yeah.
Shell companies, and nobody can even answer the question as what were they doing? What was their business? Consulting for what? You know, Hunter's got zero experience in the oil industry. And it goes on and on and on. These people are absolute criminals. Our president is compromised. It is a crime family. And the fact that anybody out there would even stick up for them at this point shows you how screwed up they are, either by listening to the media or listening to information that's completely skewed with no facts. They don't check on themselves to see if there's anything behind these facts. All they do is, it's like the voter fraud. Oh, the machines, you know, they're very accurate, you know, except we don't care about that except when we're winning, and then it doesn't matter. So.
Well.
Yeah. Anyway, did I?
Well, you know, they just keep presenting more. It's even coming out on mainstream media about the corruption and stuff to a certain degree. You know, like you say, it's just like the pandemic and everything. They say one thing one day, they say the total opposite the next day. It's good, then it's bad, then it, you know.
Right.
They just change the narrative. And anybody that can't see that, whether you watch mainstream media or not, it's evident. I mean, hello, folks. When are you going to say enough's enough and stand up and say no?
Well,
we're not going to comply with this no more because this is BS.
I have a little clip here. This is from the election and how election integrity is under threat in America. This is Victor Hansen Davis. I want to play this again, and this goes directly to what's going on in Orr County here. Here we go.
Ultimately, the redress to all these challenges of citizenship is voting. That we finally, through all the sermon drag, through all the controversy, we go to the polls and we vote. But unfortunately, what happens if people change the conditions of voting so that we lose confidence in the sanctity of our ballot? And that's been happening. Think for a minute that if you cash a check, if you get on an airplane, if you apply for a passport, you have to show an ID. But what if states say that's racist? Or what if ID laws are overturned so that people without any identification at all that connects them to a name on a ballot is gone, so then anybody can register and vote without ever proving who they are? Or what happens in California where every time you encounter a state agency, you are registered to vote, and the result of that might be multiple ballots are mailed to your home, 3, 4, 5 of them, and they may be filled out by other people. This is just not conspiracy talk. In the last election, for the first time in U.S. history, we had more people voting not on election day. Voting laws in key states were changed because of COVID. Certification of ballots was lax. And the result was that roughly 102 million people voted either through early balloting or absentee balloting. Okay, we understand that. 63% of the electorate. But the problem was this. Under traditional mail-in balloting or traditional absentee balloting, the rejection rate is anywhere from 4 to 6%. What is a rejection rate? That means that somebody did not have their full name on the ballot. They wrote Victor, not Victor Hansen, or they wrote Hansen, or they wrote Victor Davis. That ballot would be thrown out because it didn't match the signature. Or they did not put an address that was valid, or not an address at all, or they mailed it in way after the day the polls closed for those who voted in person. But when you change the voting laws, and you do it by, not by statute, but by administrative decree or judicial decision, or an impromptu choice on the part of a registrar the night of the election, and the error rate goes from 4 to 6%, in the case of 100 million plus ballots, down to 0.4 or 0.5, a magnitude of 10, then you're essentially saying that we're going to have 4 to 5 million ballots that would traditionally be rejected, but under our new system will be accepted. And under our new system is unique because we've never had this sheer quantity. And if you add one other disturbing qualifier to that statement, and the people who are changing this law feel that those who do not put their name on it in full, or in you know, they don't have a full address, they're more likely to vote for a candidate or a proposition that they agree with. And so that casts doubt on the integrity of the election itself.
All right, I guess we should go to a break.
Well, before we do, I just to kind of go along with that, did you see where the governor of Illinois has signed a law that will allow illegal immigrants to become police officers and sheriff deputies? And with that, we're going to take a break, and we will see you in 3.
Ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Nobody on the road. Nobody.
there. You know, we're little boys of summer stuff. I guess we got a light on, so I guess that means we have a caller.
I don't see no light.
I just saw it flash.
Oh, it's behind Dave's head.
You got a big head, Dave.
Well, that blocks out the sun.
I guess we'll go to our caller before we get started in the next segment. Good morning, Dick.
Are
you there?
Richard, are you there?
Mr. Wilkinson.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Hey, I called in last week. I'm calling in again. I'm not a member of the Reading Grains, but I have some friends that are. And evidently, the insurance company have an issue with the condition of the roof, so they're trying to raise money to repair the roof. And they print 300 tickets. And if you donate $20, you receive one of these tickets. And the prize for the winner of the ticket is a Ruger American rifle with gold wild camo, caliber 6.5 Creedmoor with a Vortex 4-12X scope, and comes with a sling and hard case. And I had 50 tickets. I got 10 left. And if somebody would like to purchase one, he'd help the Reading Grains and maybe get a chance to win this rifle. Give me a call, Dick Wilkinson, 530-246-9131, or drop by my house at the Big Red Barn.
All right. We appreciate that.
All right.
But I told you, Dick, I'm going to win, so.
No, I don't think so.
No, should I throw the rest of the tickets away then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Anyway, anybody, I'll give the phone number one more time. Get your pencil out, folks. 530-246-9131. I have 10 tickets left. And you donate $20, and I'll give you one of these tickets. Anyway.
Do I get a deal for buying five?
Yeah, you get a special chance. When you buy five, your chances are increased by five times.
That's good answer, Dick.
if a person just buys one, they got a 1 in 300 chance. But you buy five tickets, you increase your odds by five times.
There you go. I think my odds are up then.
And if you buy five more, Mark, you increase that 10 times. It's even better.
So it's almost like a sure thing if I give you another $100. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Right.
Well, your chances is 100%.
It'd be just like a fundraiser.
Well, you know, Mark, you've been lucky 30 times before in the past with getting your name drawn. Maybe you'll get lucky.
I'm pretty lucky when it comes to winning things on these draws for some reason. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's because you buy all the tickets.
Thanks for letting me on.
All right,
you bet. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. I guess we should introduce our guest here. He's in the studio with us today. He's Stones of Iron Stones. And I don't know if we want to give him your real name because, you know, you're incognito and, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who Stones is. Rich Gallardo.
Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for all the work that you do diving in and getting the information to us and out into the community about what's really going on in the county. You must spend a lot of time, and we appreciate it. Well, it doesn't go unnoticed.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the key for me is to educate my fellow citizens because the court of public opinion is how we're changing this county. So that's my intent with my research and sharing everything, and I appreciate the time today.
Well, that's been my philosophy since 12 years now, I guess, is that we got to stand here and keep beating the drums because, you know, that's what's going to changing public opinion and changing the perception of what's going on is what's going to win this argument and win this information war, if you will. And I think we're starting to win the war, but we're still in the middle of it, and the outcome is not assured by any stretch. But at the local level, at the county level, we're having some success, and we need to continue this, and we can't rest on our laurels.
No, and there's been a lot happening in this county. I have six items that just in this last week that have come
it's
to
kind of exploded this
it's
last
a lot.
Week.
There's a lot of things happening this week. So I have six items. I want to talk about separating the ballots. I want to talk about the governor appointing Democratic judges. A quick announcement on the recall gateway. The 2A resolution, Second Amendment, that passed last week. Quite a bit on that. and also the sheriff's official response to the 2A resolution because, ooh, it's not good, by the way.
Right.
Not good for him. and there was a couple of things on the Zog fire also.
Well, there was a recent court decision that kind of said basically they don't have a choice, is my understanding.
Yeah, we'll cover that because right. I'll bring up the sheriff's official statement on the 2A, and we'll cover that too. And then the quick announcement I'm going to make, our local convicted pedophile, I'm going to say his name because it's public record, Stephen King, it's public record, local convicted pedophile. He's attempting to impersonate Shasta County Citizen Journalist on YouTube. In fact, he's named his YouTube page Shasta County Citizen Journalist.
I almost played that if it wasn't for the swear language, but I am going to play that on the podcast as soon as we have the next one because it's off the charts stupid. Yeah. I mean, this guy, there's something wrong with him.
Well, so the key is Shasta County Citizen Journalist. We've been kind of quiet ever since we, I think we did the major contributions to get Karen Ramstrom fired and Danelle Ewart to walk off and all these other department heads from public health to leave. You know, we did a lot of work, and that was our intent as Shasta County Citizen Journalists because the rest of the local media was not doing it. So we kind of reached that goal. We reached that goal that we were created for, and so now we've been kind of quiet. But our first YouTube podcast, when we were doing the Mountaintop Media, our very first podcast, YouTube banned us, so we just immediately deleted the account.
Well,
so
we've not been
on YouTube since the first episode was banned. So
what's interesting about that YouTube that you're referencing on Stephen King is that he's taking the video with the glass window in the background.
Oh, you can see him in the reflection.
It totally shows who he is.
Nobody ever accused him of being smart.
Well, and he marked his...
Most of them
aren't. Maybe he wasn't trying to hide it because he did say his YouTube channel was SK, so I guess that was kind of a cool
So let's get into the judge thing, if we could.
Okay, so I was going to say, where do you want to start?
The reason this is a talking point, a relevant talking point, is because the people that want to recall Kevin Cry, they keep telling us that the governor's not going to get involved in
local, he's never been involved.
He's not going to get involved in local appointments, or he's not going to appoint somebody to replace Kevin Cry. And we all know that's false. So on Friday... And this morning's 8 a.m. show even talked about this. The governor appointed roughly 13 or 15 judges to statewide Superior Court vacancies. We had two vacancies in Shasta. Both of the people that Governor Newsom appointed are Democrats.
Imagine that. Do we have any background on them at all?
So we do.
So she's got it, and then I have it brought up too. But the key here is the governor – out of all those judges appointed, there was like three that were no party preference in their registration. The rest of them were Democrats. So for somebody to say that the governor's not looking to appoint Democrats in Chester County, that is now a lie.
That's his job.
Yeah, now we have the proof.
Well, and it's not like we expected anything less.
So one of the judges, and again, I don't want to get too deep into this, but the whole point was the governor will appoint a Democrat in Shasta County. That's really the whole point of bringing this up. The one is Catherine Barton from Siskiyou County. Don't know much about her.
Right.
The second one is Ben Hanna. He used to be the second in charge of the DA's office. Democrat, again. And there's some politics obviously going on with these appointments, but that's not my intent to get into to the politics of these appointments. I've already made the point that I desired to on these appointments. So any questions on that?
I know you want to move on, but we probably want to do some more background on him. Oh, I know a few things about Hanna, but we'll save that for another.
I will give one political war game point on this is, our county board has mentioned that we are likely to go to litigation for things. Civil litigation, right? The windmill project. There's other things we may go to court for against the state of California.
Well, and one of them might be the appointment of forcing us to do hand counting ballots.
Well, that too. We could go into litigation on the hand count regulation. There's a multitude of things we could go to litigation over. I wonder why the governor wants to fill up the Shasta County Superior Court with Democrats. Just saying.
Well, because you'll be forced to appeal to a higher court, and then the process becomes the punishment if you're not careful.
Yeah, so that's likely the intent here with these Democratic appointments here in the county. So.
Not also, but with Hanna, he likes to make complaints with FPPC in regards to campaign laws.
Really?
Yeah. He's
involved in a lot of that?
Yeah, he's involved when he... was in the DA's office. Just
Do
we FYI.
Have a, now, do everybody needs to the by the end of this month, isn't all of those statements due on all the campaign donations?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
So we'll see.
July 31st.
We'll see where all the donations are coming in from all of the places.
So the next one I want to go over real quick. I've been told that there's a recall for Gateway School Board happening right now. They're gathering signatures. And I've been told, and I cannot confirm this yet, but I've been told that the signature window for the Gateway recall has been extended. So I looked at the election code this morning regarding the time frames for recall petition gathering.
And that's all up to Kathy Darling.
Let me finish. So the law does not give Kathy Allen discretion to extend it. Depending on the number of voters in the electoral jurisdiction, that's the word in the law, electoral jurisdiction.
It goes to the judge, doesn't it?
If it's 1,000 or less, it's a 30-day window to get signatures. If it's 1,000 to 5,000, it's 60 days. So I don't know how many at this moment. I've sent this to the two board members under threat of recall right now, so they can look into it. But the point here is a court can absolutely, if a court's petitioned to extend it, then a court would have to do that. Kathy does not have the discretion to extend it.
I'm thinking back to the
recall. When we tried to get it extended, the judge said no.
We tried to get it extended because of smoke and everything else.
Yeah.
And I thought it was up to, so we petitioned for that to happen.
Correct.
And then that went before a judge.
Correct.
Yes.
And the judge said no.
Yes.
Well, I understand. Correct. But my point is here, if it has been extended, Kathy did not do that. She does not have that authority.
Kathy, a judge.
For the listeners, Kathy's our registrar of voters.
So if it had to go before a judge, but nobody knew when it went before the judge.
I'm waiting to hear back from the two folks under threat of recall to see if it has in fact been extended.
Well, if it has,
and then
been
we're
extended.
Gonna and then we're gonna go after the documents and see how that happened.
Because if it has been extended, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, talk about not. I mean, we had everything against.
We had some legitimate reasons for extension.
Exactly.
And these people do not.
And what would there be? Have you seen the paperwork to say what they extended?
No, like
for
I
at
said,
all?
No,
you
I,
haven't
no,
seen anything.
No,
yet.
Like okay. I said, if we can confirm it's been extended, then we'll go after the documents.
Yeah, because it was slipped through. Nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
It had to. Yeah.
So right now, this has not been confirmed. So
okay.
I'm only saying.
You mean you can't extend the recall? A recall based on the fact that you're on the coast vacationing?
Well, it depends on who you are and who you're extending it for.
Well, it's interesting too.
Just asking a question for a friend.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago that we had fires. We had all kinds of people that weren't able to go out, and there was a recall extension that was asked for, and it was denied.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
so at this point, this is rumor.
We don't know.
We don't really need to go any further.
Well,
it might not
be extended, so we'll have.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, it's alleged only. So, and that's where I want to leave it. Right now, it's alleged only, and then if we find out otherwise, we'll come back with the documents.
All right. Cool. That'll be an interesting show if they do extend it.
We'll see. So there's three other topics. And,
before we move on, real quick, I want to clarify. When I said that Ben Hanna was part of complaints with FPPC, which is true, he actually was in the DA's office when he did a complaint against Eric Jensen.
Really? This last round, that's very interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's public information right on the FPPC website.
Oh yeah, absolutely it is.
Yes, it is.
Hmm.
Just so you know.
Like a total conflict of interest because of, it was that directed from his boss?
Well, they don't give you all that information.
Well, but then that would, because it's like, wait a minute, you're working for the person who's running?
Yeah.
I mean, that stinks to high heaven.
So and it had to do with advertisements.
Yeah.
So anyway, but my point being, he wasn't involved in it.
Well, most of
it was during the election.
Most of those FPP doesn't have any teeth anyway, really. I mean,
it's regulatory.
Usually they just fine and stuff, but again, it was coming out of the DA's office at the time in regards to an election that she was involved in with Eric Jensen.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, this is like Kathy Allen Darling or whatever didn't recuse herself from counting her own votes. You know, does that seem a little suspicious?
since we're on the topic, I filed a formal FPPC against Kathy Allen for those two conflict of interest regulations and they, it took them a whole day to reply back to me that says, yeah, we're not going to investigate it. Go pound sand.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yep,
which ones,
I have those documents,
which
by the way.
Ones they choose to prosecute, yeah, or
absolutely.
Look into,
well,
and the other. There's some that's been open for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
On our side, so to speak, yeah, quote unquote, yeah, and not on their side.
Well,
theirs gets closed right away.
Well, FPPC is corrupted because they're a state entity, so they're corrupted, right?
Yeah.
All the FPPC's liberal friends, Democratic friends, they get a pass, and then anybody that's not that, no, you get investigated. So.
There's one complaint that I know of that I went on to look up, and it wasn't there, so I called FPPC. And they said, well, you know, it takes time for us to upload that information. I thought, didn't take you any time at all to get the letters and stuff out to the people that supposedly
I said, it took them one business day to tell me Kathy Allen, and I don't use the word darling. There's nothing darling about her. They took them one day to tell me, pound sand, Rich.
I guess you.
So, no, they read that stuff very quickly.
Yeah, they do.
We do have a chat room question about how many votes do they have and how many do they need. Do you know that information?
For the gateway?
For the gateway, I don't know how many signatures for that.
Yeah, I don't know the number of voters in that electoral jurisdiction. That's the key word here. And the key thing about gateway is each seat has its own geographical area. They are not at large seats, meaning... Each, I think they're five board members. Each five board members can be voted on by any constituent in the Gateway District. Each of those five board members has a physical location within that district, so they're not at large. So this is what's key here, and I'm going to find this out. So is this recall based off of Elias and Lindsay's geographical seats? Because there's a certain number of voters within that geographic area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the recall window based on the entirety of the electoral jurisdiction? You see?
Yeah, there's a big difference.
You see where Kathy can say, oh, well, it said electoral jurisdiction. It didn't say by seat or by area. See, this is where Kathy Allen can use her discretion.
Yes.
And she almost always uses the discretion not in favor of transparency, not in favor of good moral, ethical, lawful constitution. So I'm going to find this out, how the signature window and the number of signatures have been determined for this. I will find that out.
That'd be interesting to see, how that's defined.
What is it, a 20? You have to have 20% or something in order to...
I don't have it in front of me, but, there's a percentage based on the number of people eligible to sign the recall.
Right.
There's a percentage. So, anyway, that's all I want to go there. I still do have three other items, and it will take us into the next hour a little bit, because I'm going to save the big two for last.
Okay,
the big
two
is going to be Second Amendment And then the next one, I want to opine on the Zog Fire settlement. When I first saw that out, and I saw Children's Legacy $7 million, and of course I knew that Bridget was on the board. She admitted at the last Board of Supervisors meeting that she was directly involved with determining the settlements and who got the settlement. She admitted it at the board meeting.
It sounded like it was at her sole discretion.
Well,
she
was involved. Whether she was the sole one or she was involved in it, she admitted to be involved in it. That's what's key here. And then Mr. Cry this morning on his ADM show did a really good deep dive.
Yes, he did. I caught part of it.
Into this settlement. And why did it not go criminal? Why did it go civil?
Well, one of my questions is
the money.
Yeah, one of my questions is if it's a criminal lawsuit versus a civil lawsuit, does that give her more power of the money than it would at a criminal? Because why doesn't the money go back to the Board of Supervisors since they're the ones that are in charge of her office and pay her wages?
So this is what's key, and I have not heard the Board of Supervisors address it in this manner yet. So Stephanie Bridget is an elected officer. But she is also a county officer.
Right.
She wears two hats. So her being involved in a civil settlement with a private entity, PG&E, now if you read the settlement, it's all about reimbursements for public, the public, costs of the fires. And the not only the response, but also the rebuild, the rehabilitation, all that. So the key is, it's a private settlement between a private entity and a public officer. Those words are key. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at some point, our Board of Supervisors should have authority over Stephanie Bridget's involvement
in this private settlement.
I'd like yeah.
It's not a private settlement. It's a settlement between a private party and a public officer.
Right.
I'd like
it's
to know
literally
what,
that simple.
I'd like to know what gives her the authority, number one, to dictate the settlement, and number two, if she did this all by herself. Because if this is a settlement for the county's money, you would think that all four or five districts would want to be represented by their board of supervisor, you know, incumbent, and that way they would have some input on it, or if nothing else, you know, at least have a little bit of oversight over the fact of where the money's being doled
out. That was
and that's key. She's hiding under the cloak that this is a private settlement. She's hiding under that cloak, and that's probably another reason she did not want to go criminal. Because what happens in a criminal case is public documents, right?
Eventually,
that's all public. But when you go to the civil and you call it private, now you have non-disclosure agreements. Now it's like, oh, I can't say this, I can't say that. And Stephanie said at the, well, I call her Steven now because of her haircut, but she said at the board meeting, she said, yeah, I can't disclose most things because it's
exactly,
a private
yeah.
settlement. So my humble opinion, she made sure it did not go criminal, number one, to hide everything under a non-disclosure and under the civil umbrella, and she knew she was going to be able to direct $7 million to the children's
exactly,
legacy.
That's my
and
point, yeah.
She directed $5 million to the DA's office.
Wow.
Follow the money, folks.
Did yeah, and then Kevin made it evident on his program this morning that she said she didn't know about the tree being marked and all that with PG&E had marked the tree, and that's what caused the fire, basically. And it's coming out. Yep. They did know. Now, whether the judge knew or not, that's another story.
Right. In this settlement process, are those records retrievable by the Freedom of Information Act?
Not likely. If it's
even
not,
if
it's not
that, again, that's why she probably went civil. And because what happens with a settlement in court, there's almost always a non-disclosure agreement. Almost always, correct?
Right.
Not
yeah.
always, but usually there is, and there probably is here too. So can we ask for them? We can ask for them. Whether we get them redacted or refuse, I don't know.
That just seems wrong because when you're doling out that kind of money, you got a $50 million settlement.
Yeah.
And, you know, just as a side note here, the Children's Legacy Center, I don't know them from Adam. And, you know, I got nothing against them. I never even heard them before you brought this up. But when I look on the board and I see Bill Schuler, the chief of police, I see Stephanie Bridget, the district attorney, I see Erin Resner, the city council woman, I see John Paletsky, Anderson city chief, I see Judy Flores, superintendent, county of office of education, Michael Johnson, the sheriff, and a couple other guys I don't know, Germano and this other guy. But you think about that. That's the same guys that were being supported by the staff.
Yeah, and don't forget, I don't know if she's on the board, but good old Mary Williams.
Just got put over there?
Did she went to work for...
That's my understanding. Well, we haven't
heard
I heard that.
I heard that, but I haven't verified it.
So on there, I know we're almost out at the hour, but...
We got about 3 minutes,
next time they file their IRS tax forms, they're required to list all their officers on their IRS tax form. They're not required to list all their employees. So Mary Williams may or may not be on that on the next IRS form that
but
they file.
But you can get that. You can request those documents.
I don't know if you can the
they
employees.
They refused. Yeah.
So but the officers have to be reported.
Officers have to be listed. Yeah. Yes. But I tried to get the agenda in minutes for Children's Legacy Center because I wanted to try to tie Stephanie, into this big deal they got. And they refused me, said, nope, sorry, we're a private 501. You don't get to see our agenda.
Can you go above them or do anything to compel them?
Well, we're about ready. I can hear the music in the
background. Yeah, we're going a little early. I guess we're go to the break. And
we're not going early. We're on time.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, I can hear the music.
What's
that? So my point is...
We're going to a break, so we'll pick it up on the other side.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. The campaign rally for Donald Trump in Erie, Pennsylvania last night. The former president had this to say about the latest charges against him.
These are ridiculous indictments, and all they're doing is hoping for massive election interference. That's all they want to do. They want to damage the leading candidate, by the way, leading by far, I have to say.
And he had a message for GOP lawmakers, too.
Any Republican that doesn't act on Democrat fraud should be immediately primaried and get out. Out.
A poll shows Mr. Trump far ahead of his Republican challengers. Russian authorities say three Ukrainian drones attacked Moscow in the early hours of this morning, injuring one person and prompting a temporary closure for traffic in and out of one of the four airports around the city. The drones that targeted the city were all eventually shot down, we're told. Do you believe in angels? About 7 in 10 U.S. adults do, according to a new APNORC poll.
The Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research survey shows Americans more optimistic about the existence of positive spirituality than negative. 7 in 10 respondents say they believe in angels more than believe in demons. Fewer also believe in hell, reincarnation, or that physical things can have spiritual energies. Angels have credibility across an array of worldviews and mean different things to different people. The notion that deceased loved ones become angels is not unusual, neither is it universal. Bob Agnew reporting.
Marine Corps officials say they will make their recruiting goal this year at a time when the Army, Navy, and Air Force are expected to fall short. All the services are struggling in the tight job market to compete with higher-paying businesses for the dwindling number of young people who can cut it. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Ugly Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
Hoping to stave off inflationary pressures on a diet staple, the Indian government is banning exports of non-basmati rice.
It's triggering worry among the Indian diaspora in the United States that access to food staple from home might soon be cut off. Some rush to supermarkets to stock up, stacking carts with bags and bags of rice. In some places, lines formed outside some stores as panic buyings ensued. An earlier than expected El Nino brought drier, warmer weather in some parts of Asia and is expected to harm rice production. But in some parts of India where the monsoon season was especially brutal, flooding destroyed some crops, adding to production woes and rising prices. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The collapse of the Black Sea grain deal and a series of missile strikes on Ukrainian grain silos and ports have left farmers with few options to export their grain, and all of them are getting more expensive. Help is hopefully on the way. News and analysis at townhall.com. China is accusing the U.S. of turning Taiwan into an ammo dump.
This accusation follows the White House announcement of a $345 million military aid package for Taipei. Taiwan says it tracked six Chinese Navy vessels in waters off its shores. Meanwhile, the Taiwan Affairs Office says it opposes U.S. military aid to the self-governed island, which China claims as its own territory. A spokesperson for the Affairs Office says no amount of military spending will shake China's firm will to realize the reunification of our motherland.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Today is Sunday, July the 30th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including singer Paul Anka. He is 82 years old. former California governor and actor and Mr. Olympia, Arnold Schwarzenegger, 76 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Back. Are we hooked up?
Yep, we're on.
Here we go.
Are we hooked up?
Yeah, we're hooked up. Here we go. Okay, so this is where we're at in America right now.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
In more ways than one.
It's so true.
Yep. So to continue what we were talking about, you want to go on to the ballots before we hit the big subject?
Yeah. I just finished a two-part podcast on mountaintopmedia.com. They're both half hour. Part one is up on the website, and part two should be up in a day or two. So I'm trying to get a push going, a public push in the court of public opinion to separate our countywide ballots for future elections in Shasta County. Physically, separate ballots, separate envelopes. And then the other ballot will be the state and federal races. I'm not going to go over everything intimately here because it's in those podcasts. So mountaintopmedia.com, click on special reports. So mine's at the top right now, part one. And in a couple days, we'll have part two. So part one sets up the problem of the fraud that's ingrained in the laws, and part two is the solution, which is separating the countywide ballots. And I give legal, lawful, and constitutional justification for doing so. The key here is, once you see that, send your thoughts and or ideas to the County Board of Supervisors. This will not happen without the County Board of Supervisors making it happen. We have time, although the window is closing quickly, we have time to make this happen for the March primary. So this is something that needs to be done now. We cannot delay any further.
I want to make a comment on Mountaintop Media's website. I love the new look, by the way. It's just so much nicer now that they're still working on the website, and they're improving it on a daily basis. And so, we highly encourage everybody to get involved in these alternative media sources, ours locally being mountaintopmedia.com, because we're starting to get more and more people that are becoming citizen journalists that are starting to report on stuff, so that we are bypassing these local meat-headed mainstream guys, because they don't, and I know this from personal experience of talking to them. Not going to say who.
Mike who? What's his last name?
I'm not going to say who. But
I got some gas here.
I'm not. But they know that their media is dying. They know that they're just talking heads at this point. They're handed a script. Here's what you say, and it's a job to them. And that's all it is at this point.
And it's not local. That's the important thing.
No, it's being not dictated. Only local. It's all by scripts. Yeah. It's all coming down from high, from some suit that is telling everybody what to do because he writes their paycheck.
And I, in the last couple of years, with what I've been doing locally, I have sent our local media emails with facts and data, documents, videos, to see
No, this is stuff we've covered in this building many, many times. But I have many examples to where I've sent this information to the local media, both radio and TV and print. Nothing. Cue the crickets.
You know, when we started out with the Tea Party 13, 14, 15 years ago, I just quit doing interviews because every time I did an interview, they slanted the story. They twisted the facts. It came out completely.
They still do it.
That's why I won't even talk to them anymore. Right. They've tried to do multiple interviews with me. It's like, I'm not going to talk to you guys because you guys never report the story or the fact. I'm looking for somebody to report the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that I want it all slanted my way or slanted the other way, but at least get the facts right, you know.
Don't twist the words. So
don't twist it.
What you're talking about, back when my wife and I were doing the Walk for Life, we had a person that came out and interviewed my wife, and I ended up recording the entire thing just for that very reason. And when it got posted on Facebook, and there was obviously the slant there, words taken out of context. All right, here's what actually was said, and here's the video right underneath it. Surprise, surprise, they decided to take it down. Right. Weird.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happened.
My last topic is the big one. The Second Amendment resolution was passed last week at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, local chapter of California Rifle Pistol, of which I'm a part.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on it for a couple of years now. The second version that was passed last week, there were multiple authors, A-U-T-H-O-R, not author, Gorman, authors. I was a co-author of this second version. Mark Baird was a co-author. There might be another one, but I haven't confirmed. So Mark and I were the two main authors. Mm. And it's not a sanctuary. I've been seeing the term sanctuary here and there in some of our local videos and news announcements. It's not. Sanctuary is not on that resolution.
Well, and
sanctuary implies 100% protection, and we don't have that.
And you guys did run this by attorneys as well.
The rifle pistol attorneys in Fullerton absolutely endorsed this, and we have that letter of endorsement.
And on top of that, doing a little homework, and this number might be different, but it's 61%. Of the counties in the United States have already adopted this or something similar as far as becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary state.
Yeah. Sanctuarycounties.com.
It should be
sanctuarycounties.com. Right. There's about 3,300 counties, and 16, almost 1,700 have adopted something. So
with this being passed on Tuesday, I know a lot of people assumed or saying that gives us the right to open carry. I have seen that on social media.
I'm going to be dispelling those myths. And by the way, the sheriff, a couple of days ago on the Shasta County Sheriff Facebook page, it's a public record. You can go and download the sheriff's one page public statement, his media release on this 2A. And my gosh, what a train wreck it is. And we're going to go over that because Mr. Johnson needs some education on the Constitution and even the laws, by the way. So the key is it's not a sanctuary. It was never intended to be a sanctuary resolution. So here's the point. We're not going to let that resolution sit on the shelf and collect dust. That's never been our intent, ever. Why would we do that? That would be a waste of everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
So now Patrick Jones is on record. I believe it was at one of the Mountaintop podcasts, but he is in public record stating that he would like to allow county employees to carry firearms at work if they have a permit. So I hope he still intends to do that. He probably does. I can't speak for him. But that's our intent of this resolution, is to now start taking action. Now, Senate Bill 2, currently pending in committees or wherever, this is California Senate bill, they have amended the current penal code, which is going to take all citizens, permit holders, current authority away to carry on local government building or state government property. Right. So if this Senate Bill 2 passes as it's currently written, that is going to take a huge bite out of our current ability to carry on local and state government properties. Most of them. There's always exceptions, courthouses, et cetera. But so that will obviously put a ding in our attempt or desire to allow county employees to carry. But I hope we put this on the agenda. We pass it. Employees then start carrying. And then if the state then passes a law to say you can no longer carry a county employee or anybody by that way, now there's legal injury. Now there's standing.
Now, I have a meeting today at noon with the head legislative advocate for California Rifle Pistol. He's in town today, and we're going to have a meeting with him. And I'm going to tell him, look, because they know, California Rifle Pistol knows about Senate Bill 2. And I'm going to put some pressure on California Rifle Pistol. Say, I hope you guys have this on your radar. Mm-hmm. And if this bill passes as written, that you immediately file for an injunction. Mm-hmm. And or a stay so that it does not get enforced until it makes its way through the courts. It's a huge bite out of our carry rights and our ability to protect ourselves.
Well, and they need some pressure on them, too, because when you look at Gun Owners of America, it's been doing five times the work that they do, and they have less budget.
Yeah. Well, Rifle Pistol's been doing very good work. If you go to CRPA.org, you can see the current lawsuits and the ones that they have won in the last several years.
Whatever happened, they are
doing excellent work. So I'm not trying to say California Rifle Pistol is not going to help us with this Senate bill, too. They likely will. But we're in flux right now, so.
It's like whatever happened to the NRA.
Well, that's another story.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. But I do want to address the sheriff's response. Yeah. You know, he talks out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah. He has since day one when it comes to the Second Amendment,
I'm for the Second Amendment, but only under my conditions
But I follow the Constitution, but.
So reading his press release here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I have a couple issues with a couple of the items in here, and they're not small. These are big issues. You know, he talks about he's swore to uphold the Constitution of the state and federal government.
Mm-hmm.
But then he talks about in the same press release how he has to wait for the courts to decide if the law is unconstitutional. That's not how it works in our constitutional republic. Nowhere in the oath of office does it say, I swear to uphold the U.S. and state constitution, but I have to wait to see what the judge says.
I have to refer.
I have to wait to see what the judge says about it. That's not in your oath. Ever. You see the semantics here?
He's passing the buck is what he's doing.
He's passing the buck because he doesn't want to be the one that says, you know what, I'm not going to follow that. Every elected official that raises their hand and takes that oath gives them the authority to decide if they believe something that's in front of them on their desk is constitutional or not. It's literally that simple. The problem is in our society for decades now, we have been trained and told that we have to wait for the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the judges are in charge of everything constitutional, are we living in a judicial oligarchy? No, we live in a constitutional republic.
Well,
judge is a simple check and balance to the three branches, executive, judicial, legislative. That's all they are. Yeah. They're in a co-equal check and balance. They are not the rulers of society. We do not live in a judicial oligarchy. And it's unfortunate most people are not aware of that.
Here's the problem I see it as well. I'm so tired of this doublespeak. Well, I'm a conservative and I uphold the Constitution, but I'll arrest you if I see you bearing an arm.
Yeah.
You know, it's all doublespeak. They say they're one thing and they're another. It's like this whole thing, well, Modi was a conservative. Modi never voted a conservative way in his life. You know, I mean, if they run as conservatives and they say they're going to do one thing and they do exactly the opposite, and that's exactly what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's in a conservative county, and if he said, hey, I'm not for the Constitution because I don't believe in open carry.
Yeah.
Even though open carry, how many states are now open carry? How many, you know, it's all over the place. It's not like it's
like 41 or something.
Yeah, it's
I'm not going to use the term constitutional carry because the Constitution does not give us the authority. It only recognizes it. But,
right.
Permitless carry is a more accurate word. There's 26 now states that have permitless carry.
And that's open carry.
No. It's just called permitless.
Yeah, but I'm saying
you
don't have to have your weapon concealed.
Correct, but that does not mean open carry. That just means carry, and then it depends on that state if that permitless carry is concealed or open.
So as of January 1st, 2016, 46 states within America have open carry gun laws with varying restrictions.
Yeah, and we have it right here in California. It's arbitrary and capricious.
We'll carry a gun as long as I give you permission.
But the open carry that we can have here, and our sheriff refuses to issue open carry, population of 200,000 or more, that is arbitrary and capricious, wholly unconstitutional. Because let's say the sheriff was to issue those, we're at 180-something thousand, right? And so in 20 years, as soon as the hospital calls the sheriff, says, Sheriff, we're at 200,001. What's he going to do, pull everybody's open carry permits? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's arbitrary and capricious, wholly unconstitutional.
Yeah,
but the sheriff won't issue them anyways.
I just don't buy the whole argument of I'm for it, but I'm against it. You know, and the plain text of the Second Amendment is really super plain. It, you know, shall not be infringed the right to keep and bear arm. It doesn't say I have the right to bear the arm as long as I cover it underneath my shirt.
Correct.
It's absolute bull crap.
So I have two more points on this, and then I'll be finished with it. But the Second Amendment talks about a well-regulated militia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
they read that one out of context.
Out of context.
Yep.
So the gun, these gun safety people, no, they're gun confiscators. They're not gun safety. These gun confiscators think, well, regulated means the government gets to regulate you.
No.
Okay. Back in 1871 that the Second Amendment was passed? What regulation was in place in 1871? Was there an alcohol, tobacco, firearms? Was there a state DOJ? None of that existed. Right?
Right.
So how was this intended in 1871 when the 2A was passed? It wasn't intended to say, oh, well, in 200 years when there's a big, bloated, overbearing government, they get to regulate your militia. No.
Yeah, it didn't say the government has the right to regulate.
That's not how the 2A was written and intended. Regulated means trained. That's exactly what regulated means, trained.
Well, and the militia means the people. It doesn't mean a body sanctioned by the government necessarily.
Correct. Correct. The militia at that time was the people.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't the government. Yeah. So,
and this whole thing is completely about protecting and defending our rights from an overbearing government,
correct,
which is exactly what we're seeing in America.
Correct.
We've got a dictator in SAC, and we got a dictator in Washington right now.
Yeah.
At least they think they're dictators because of their actions. It's like this. You look at Newsom and the Temecula School Board. Oh, well, you'll teach the kids what I say. Oh, really? So you're now you're the con now, right? You're the czar.
But again, it goes back to the money. Then they'll pull the money.
I have a comment on the school thing afterwards. I do want to finish this. I have one more important point on this sheriff's media release. Towards the bottom of the first page, he talks about it is our belief that laws are made to govern the rights and protects the rights of law-abiding citizens. There are members of society who, if allowed to bear arms, would pose a danger to the public. Parentheses. Yep. Violent, dangerous, convicted felons. The sheriff literally is saying in here, if we follow the Second Amendment, that violent, dangerous felons would be bearing guns.
No,
Mr. Johnson,
right.
No. The government doesn't, this is what's key.
This is a moronic argument.
But it is very moronic. The government doesn't take your Second Amendment rights away. When you violate laws against society, you took your rights away to bear an arm.
You
took your own right away. The government never came in and took it away without justification. You initiated an action by violating societal laws. You are to blame for your gun rights being taken away by society standards and measures. So this is absolutely moronic. This shows Mr. Johnson's ignorance, if not fraud, if he knows the Constitution and he's spewing this BS. He is now fraudulently putting this out, misinforming, disinforming the public on this matter.
Yeah, and he's making it sound like it because of that criminals, that's the only time they're going to take up guns and stuff. What part of criminal don't you get? They're doing it now.
Well,
it has nothing to do with open carry or whatever. Criminals.
What he's in essence is in doing in this is lumping everybody into the same pot. All law-abiding citizens are the same as criminals.
Well, that too.
You think about that. That's what he's doing. It's a double speak.
Yeah.
There's absolutely some subversive messaging going on here.
Yeah.
Does this sound like a constitutional sheriff?
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. So last year when Sheriff Mack went to Yuba City and they did, it was Kristan Hall and Sheriff Mack hosted a day long, event.
Mm-hmm.
Constitutional event. Mr. Johnson was there. Sheriff Johnson was there. He was in the front row. And it's an amphitheater type seating, so he was in the front row in the middle. I was in the front row on to the side. But because it was amphitheater, I could move my eyeballs just a little bit and I could watch him without even turning my head. And I watched him for 4 hours during the first part of the day. And I was looking at him. And more times than not, I would look over at him and he was looking at me. It's like, why is he looking? Now he knew who I was at the time.
Right.
He knows I'm a rabble rouser, whatever. But he kept looking at me. More often than not, I'm like, why is he keep looking at me? Is he want to see if I'm videotaping him or something? And here's what's even better. So the first part was a public auditorium presentation in the big auditorium at that church. The second half of the day after lunch, Sheriff Mack had a private meeting in the back, one of the back conference rooms, with any elected official. So there were sheriffs there. There were city councilmen there. There were other boards of supervisors there. And Sheriff Mack allowed me in as an independent journalist. So I sat in there, and I'm retired law enforcement also. And so I sat in there. Mr. Johnson was nowhere to be found. He stayed the first half of the day. Now, he did come up with an excuse that he had some other appointment. I don't know what is more important. What is more important than being than learning the Constitution? And like a week or two after this, when he, this is when he was starting his race for the primary, he had the audacity to call himself a constitutional sheriff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot if it was a radio or TV ad. He had that audacity.
Well, it's,
audacity.
It's about telling everybody what they want to hear. It's not about what actually is.
Yeah.
And you have to separate the facts out and do a little homework and see what he's actually saying as opposed to what he's actually doing.
Yeah.
But that's what these guys do. That's what these politicians have been doing for a long time. You know, and it's just sickening after a while.
Well, he kind of told you where he was going when he allowed to be on the ticket with all the Democrats.
Funded by Democrats. I mean, they talk about, getting funded from some guy in Connecticut. What about the so-called conservative Republicans here in town getting funded by far left Democrats, on their campaigns?
So, a couple more quick points. I hear the phone ringing. I'm going to be putting a proposal to the Board of Supervisors here very soon, to initiate a sheriff oversight panel, not advisory. Oversight. California law is allows our county board of supervisors to issue a citizen oversight committee.
And what would it be the effect of that? Would they have any teeth or any kind of power?
Well, it's like any other oversight committee. They would do. Oh, by the way, this committee also has subpoena power. Oh yeah. By the law.
Well, that would be a big
by law.
How would the board come about?
Well, this is another. I'm sorry I started this so late because I know we're almost done for the for me, but maybe we can address this again later because I will be doing a proposal and I will be sending it to the board, and then I would like to talk about it publicly because, again, the Court of Public Opinion needs to get the Board of Supervisors on board with this so that they can make it happen.
Is there some rules that govern the subpoena power? Do you know where those are at and what we could look at? Because is it a blanket subpoena power where you can subpoena anything?
Right now, again, we're almost out of time, but the code gives broad subpoena power to a sheriff's citizen oversight committee now.
That's huge.
It is huge, and Mr. Johnson needs oversight. Anyways, last thing I want to say about the schools.
Yeah.
So it was a Temecula that was threatened with a $1.5 million fine, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And so, that actually ended up increasing because of the shipping costs as well.
So here's my answer to the fines from the state to any government school. Any government school. The schools for decades now. They have been shorted the money they have been lawfully entitled to. Almost every year, almost every school district, just ask a school administrator, how much are you short this year?
Right.
The state keeps giving them IOUs every year and gives them little to no money back. So each school district that's assessed a fine, they can go back in a couple hours and say, well, the state owes us $8.6 million over the last 20 years.
So just take the fine out of it.
So go ahead, Governor.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Find me $1.5 million. We're going to take it off what you owe us.
It's like Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber. You know, here's a suitcase full of IOUs.
You see how easy that was, though?
Yeah.
So money out of their pocket. Just take it off of what the state already owes them. See how easy that was?
Yeah, they forget to give you that part of the equation. And with that, we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, Terry. Terry, you're on. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
You're there, Terry. You're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm here. Everybody was saying hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Good, good. Anyway, so, yeah, I think that Rich made a lot of good points there, and I think that what we have to be looking at as far as the sheriff goes is basically he's not a constitutional sheriff. Every sheriff should be. The sheriff, in essence, I think, is a totalitarian, corrupt official. And the reason he is that, as Rich said, and rightly so, Second Amendment is there without question. And why is it that the Second Amendment is the only right we have in the Bill of Rights that is always questioned and has stipulations to it? And in Bruin versus the New York Rifle and Pistol Association, the outcome of that is the plain text of the Second Amendment is the plain text of the Second Amendment. It can't be abridged by any government, no matter whether it's state, local or federal. It cannot be abridged by anyone. What they meant is what they said. And, Rich, I guess I'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah, and we're almost at the break, but I want to thank everybody here for the time today, and maybe I'll come back when we have got some more news, which happens very quickly.
Very fast these days. Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks again for all the work and research that you do on this and
everybody's
getting it out
very,
to the people.
Very welcome. I'm honored. Absolutely. I'm honored that you guys gave me the airtime.
Anytime.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right, very good, Rich. Thanks.
And with that, I guess we'll go to a break, and then who knows where we will go on the other side. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567.
And beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Just stop the sun and moon and sing a song of cheer. Just fill your basket full of sandwiches and weenies. Then lock the house up, now you're set. And on the beach you'll see the girls in their bikinis. As cute as ever, but they never get them wet. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
At my window, west wind soft as a sweet dream. My love warm as the sunshine, sitting here by me. She's here by me. She stepped out of the rainbow, golden hair shining like moon glow. Soft as a soul, sitting here by me, yeah. She's here by me.
Johnny Rivers there.
I like that song.
You look like you're about ready to start busting a move on it.
I'm telling you.
That goes back a little way.
Yeah, it does. I'll start moonwalking and stuff.
Especially when they were referring to jukeboxes and stuff.
Well, when they start playing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band,
true,
you know,
yeah.
Like, yeah. I like doing the music in the morning. I mean, just to get that real cross section of everything is what I like to do. I like to hear different genres from different places, you know, old, new, everything, and all of it has some good stuff, you know, no matter what you look at. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what you're looking at.
It depends on the mood.
Yeah, I mean, so that's how I get ready for the show every morning, just in case anybody wants to know. I get up and I do the music first because it kind of gets my blood juice going, you know, and then I start thinking.
Do we put clothes on first or the music first? I'm just kidding.
Oh, please. Really?
I had to take off the robe because every time I broke a dance and a move, I tripped.
Wow.
You only have to bust your head
on
the table a couple of times and you realize, you know, buck naked's much better. Just never mind. Yeah, that's all BS.
I approve.
I approe of this message. So, I do. Let's get into some headlines. We've got a half an hour here. Want to start off with the Feld Bank in the Heartland.
In Kansas.
On Friday, we got another Feld Bank. Heartland Tri-State Bank was closed by the Kansas Office of the State Banking Commissioner. And the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation was subsequently named receiver. So we've got another Feld Bank. I expect this to be the start of much more coming. I'm not sure what the spacing is going to be, but I don't think we're anywhere close to seeing the end of this failed banking thing, and it's all going to be consolidated into the big boys at some point in time.
Yeah, and that was all over the place, right? Everybody knew about that.
They always do it. Anytime they don't want you to know something.
They do it like on a Thursday
Friday evening, yeah. I mean, over the weekend when everybody walks out of the office. Now, this is, I'm looking at FDIC website here. I'll post this on Facebook if anybody wants to look at it so they know that we're not, you know, just talking crap, because we like to do our homework here so that we are actually basing the news on the news and not somebody's opinion and, other things that don't matter. And so we try to pick the stories that are the most relevant at this point, because there's so much noise and distraction out there right now. It's incredible. Some of that.
Right.
They want you to run down these rabbit holes.
Yeah, I do know we had one of the listeners talking about, you know, the ATF and the IRS raiding gun stores and things like that. I haven't looked into the article too much, but I do know we just heard a couple days ago that they're telling the IRS to back off a lot of stuff. Not going to people's houses, intimidating like they were.
They actually passed a law or a policy that said they're no longer going to have revenue agents show up unannounced.
Yeah.
At people's places of, you know, their homes or their place of business.
But people are starting to go, no, this isn't working, you know. So anyway, is there an overreach of all of that? Sure, there's a few out there, and we do need to be aware of that. But we will dive into it a little bit more and see what else I can find out about the gun stores and stuff.
Yeah, that was in Montana, Great Falls or someplace. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, and a big one here too in regards to that failed bank. Where's the accountability on any of this? So the DOJ has dropped the campaign finance charge against Sam Bankman-Fried. Isn't that interesting?
Not all of them. That's
not all of them. All of just them. The one.
They've dropped one, and I think there's two. I looked at that, and I didn't follow up too much on it because, again, there's so much noise. And any time that something happens with Hunter, all of a sudden we've got UFOs and all these other things and these headlines, you know. The big news on the Hunter this last week was the judge dropped the plea bargain, said that was total crap, you know.
The other big news is apparently his attorneys ended up calling in, pretending to be the Republicans, and tried to end up withdrawing some of the information from the whistleblower testimony. That seems to be pertinent.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one.
I think somebody should be disbarred for that crap. I mean, that is off the charts,
you can't even make this crap up.
Malpractice. I mean, it's so crazy what these guys are doing. But it just shows you the level of criminality that these guys will do. They'll do anything.
Well, an interesting take, too, on that, too, is that there is speculation that they ended up dropping the plea deal so that they couldn't end up having Congress being able to testify before Congress and saying anything to it, because it's an ongoing pending investigation. If they had ended up doing a plea deal, then they would have been able to extract some of that information, but right now they can just do a blanket, hey, it's an ongoing investigation, we can't talk on it.
Yeah, so that's a lot of the stuff, and like I say, it's there's so much going on that I don't want to get caught up in the news, and a lot of this is mainstream stuff that they're still catching up to. But I think the big things that I saw this last week was all the stuff on COVID, all the things that are happening on COVID. I think that's the big news that is not being reported in the mainstream news media.
That's part of it.
Well, that's the stuff that I gravitate to because it just shows you how much they're lying. I mean, you've got a pro-vaccine NFL football player diagnosed with blood clots in his lungs. You've got LeBron James' son has cardiac arrest after he receives the COVID shots. You got what's his name? The other black guy that was in Django. I can't think of his name.
Well, LeBron's son. They said that there was problems and he was having health issues, but they never on the mainstream media. They never went any further about why.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, they only do the headline and then basically, that's it, let's go on.
What's the black guy's name that just got out of the hospital? I can't think of his name. I know.
Jamie Foxx, thank you.
You know, and now that came out and it looks like, Ice Cube said that, it was the shot, you know, that he got the shot.
Yeah.
So they're just avoiding that crap. And then I've got another thing here. There's a disturbing study out of Switzerland found that the incidence of cardiac related injuries following the COVID jab was 3,000 times higher than the U.S. government figures. Who knew? I mean, you know, really? So they're just covering crap up right and left. The small peer-reviewed study, studied spearheaded by the Department of Cardiology and Cardiovascular Research Institute in Basel, found that out of the 777 participants, all medical professionals at the median age of 37 who received the Moderna COVID mRNA vaccine, nearly 3% of the subjects had elevated cardiac enzymes just 3 days after taking the shot, indicating heart muscle damage. I guess we just forgot about that. You know, and you're seeing more and more. They're not going to be able to cover this thing up. I got another one. FDA was forced to release 15,000 documents about testing and safety of the Moderna shot. So this is coming out whether they like it or not. But the mainstream just goes completely silent on most of this.
Yeah, and it's coming from a lot of different sources in regards to the vaccines and the harm. And Dave and all of us were talking earlier about some countries aren't even allowing the vaccines in the country. And I saw that article, but I haven't been able to find it again.
Yeah, I was just trying to search for it here. What they were saying is that they couldn't end up allowing it in the country based upon the fact of the collateral for the damage
for what they believe
could be heart attacks and things of that nature. But it's interesting how tone deaf the CDC is in regards to all of this. So this Thursday, the new director for the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention said Thursday her agency would likely come out with guidance this fall that Americans should get an annual COVID-19 booster shot. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. I guess the conspiracy theorists were right again.
Yeah, and like I say, there's so many, it's coming from so many different resources about the effects and damage that the vaccines have caused. I mean, it's different countries, different people, different doctors. I mean, it's all over the place coming out on other media.
I've got another video I'll post on Facebook. And it's funny, I posted some videos on Facebook and they said it last week because it was, the community standards thing, you know, and I'm just like, good grief. So I'll post it. If I can't get it there, then we'll, you know, encourage everybody because a lot of these videos I'll post on the podcast on Mondays that come out, you know, in series. We've already got the one, last one that came out that, about the, are you an idiot maybe?
Right.
And then we got another one that should post, but I post these on those because you can't always get them up on these, you know, ScrewTube or Scroogle. And so I'll post this on Facebook, but if it gets taken down, you know why. And this one is, about, Ed Dowd, bombshell, hematological, blood-related claims up 522% above the trend in 2022. So this guy's the former BlackRock portfolio asset manager, and he searched the UK personal independent payment system and found that the yearly payments in 2022 for hematological blood-related claims increased by 522%. When compared to the data from 2016, 2019, 20, and 21, Dowd said that there was an increase of 61 standard deviations which is so extraordinary that is unlikely to be an accident. Claims for other health-related problems, including gastrointestinal, reproductive, and so forth, also increased significantly. So, is this all related to the shot? I don't know, but it sure does seem like there's more and more information coming out that says that there's a problem with a bunch of these shots.
Here's in regards to what we were talking about earlier. I don't have the names, but it says Pfizer demands nations put up collateral to cover vaccine injury lawsuits in different countries. Argentina mm-hmm. and Brazil, I know is a couple of them mm-hmm. in regards to that. So
that's insanity. I mean, really, when you think about it. And meanwhile, for the people that say, oh, it's not happening. All right, well, if that's not happening, let's go ahead and lay on the government to release the documents that Pfizer doesn't want us to see for 75 years. Because just within the little bit of documents that they did release, it wasn't good.
Yeah, and they're asking for assets, including bank reserves, military bases, embassy buildings. Huh.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here, folks, well, at all, you know?
We've got this FDA forced to release 15,000 more documents about testing and safety of the Moderna shot. Conservative public interest advocacy group Defending the Republic obtained almost 15,000 pages of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial data. Moderna's Spikevax shot was first authorized for emergency use in the United States in December of 2020 and in January of 2022 received full approval for adults. One of the key takeaways from the documents is that many of those who died after receiving the Moderna vaccine were not given an autopsy.
Yes, I saw that one. Yeah,
they can't hide this stuff after a while. But that's why they needed blanket immunity. That's why they're in this emergency authorization. That's why everything is an emergency. They always take your rights. Look at what every time they declare an emergency, that's their buzzword for taking extraordinary measures of getting your rights away from you one way or another and consolidating them into whatever governmental body is claiming the emergency. Mm-hmm. Don't ever let a good emergency go to waste. We've heard that from Rahm Emanuel. That's what this is all about. That's why they want to keep these emergencies going, because not only does it stop them from having any liability from a financial standpoint, it also gives them the power to initiate more control over things.
Well, and this is an interesting thing, too, is that people are already forgetting you had the Biden administration, which ended up ceding our sovereignty to the WHO and giving all control over vaccines and things of that nature to them. At the same time, you have the World Health Organization chief who warned on May 24th of this year, the head of the World Health Organization warned on Tuesday, May 24th, that governments need to prepare for a disease even deadlier than COVID-19. Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, general of the WHO, told its annual health assembly in Geneva that it was time to advance negotiations on preventing the next pandemic. Well, if these are once-in-a-hundred-year pandemics, why the heck are they stacking up every 2 years?
Yeah, but we've talked about this before, that this was just the beginning of all this.
Mm-hmm.
That you shouldn't fall victim in it in the first place. Well, I mean,
now you should just, anytime they come up with the next one, just give them the finger. I mean, is anybody going to do what these guys are asking at that point? I mean, I don't know. So
I still see a certain number of folks that are wearing masks in their car alone.
Yeah, they have pointy little heads most of the time. But, you know, so going back to this study, this study recorded that 16 people died after receiving the Spikevax injection, but only two had autopsies that were noted in the study. Isn't that so? Wow. So if I'm 90%, I only take 10% of the study, that means I'm 90% off on my results. That's really what we're talking about here. They're skewing everything. And including our elections. I mean, look what they did. And then these guys are all talking about, oh, the Dominion machines are all, the hand counting. Oh, we've been doing hand counting for 200 years at less cost, but now all of a sudden the Dominion, and then you got Kathy Allen down there going to rearrange all the offices space and put them downtown and all this stuff to make, she's not trying to stack up some more cost, is she? Because what are they afraid of? Why are they afraid of the hand counts? We did a hand count before.
Yeah, we did.
We know what it entails. It's actually got to be less costly than the damn machines.
Not according to her.
Well, it's got to be open source. We have to be able to see what these machines are doing. There has to be actual oversight.
Why would we want that? I mean, machines don't make mistakes. I mean,
you're probably racist.
Yeah, just because somebody programmed them that may not like
us.
In fact, I'm not even, I'm going to say it. You are a racist.
Oh, yeah, of course.
See how you are?
So there's also numerous other examples in this study of clinical trial participants being diagnosed with post-vaccine Bell's palsy and shingles. The studies also showed a number of participants experienced heart attacks, pulmonary embolisms, and spontaneous miscarriages. But I guess we just won't worry about those, right?
No, we're not going to report that. That has nothing to do with the vaccine at all. Don't worry about it. Even though people are dropping dead all around and having all these ailments, don't worry about it. Just get your jab and get ready for the next round.
Wear your mask. Put your mask on and shut up.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you're an uneducated knuckle-dragging Neanderthal, so
it doesn't really matter.
Anyway.
You know, just because all these athletes and all these people are dropping dead and everything, no problem.
So the article we referenced was written by Joseph Mercola, and it was, Pfizer demands nations put up collateral to cover vaccine injury lawsuits. Argentina and Brazil have rejected Pfizer's demands to put up sovereign assets, including bank reserves, military bases, and embassy buildings. So,
if there's no problem, why are they asking for these people to put up all these assets?
Now, mind you, that's not these countries asking Pfizer to put up these assets. That's Pfizer asking these countries to put up that assets. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yep. Nothing to see here. Are we done with vaccines?
I guess. I mean, I'm looking.
I have this one. Have you seen this where they're going to be scanning your pupils for ID, and they're already doing it in Europe?
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's
the
actually
digital ID system.
Some of that stuff has already been going on at Walmarts. When you walk in, you've got cameras that are at eye level that are scanning your face and scanning your eyes and your pupils and stuff. And that's been going on now for years. Remember when they set up the little cattle gates when they during the COVID time?
Yeah. They want to find out if you're human or not.
Just
so you want to know, it says in the article they want to know if you're human or not.
This just in. I can't even believe the headline here. China linked. I haven't studied this or checked this out to be true, but it comes from a pretty good source. Gateway Pundit is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
China-linked biolab discovered in Fresno, California.
Oh, I did see that.
Had over 900 mice genetically engineered to catch and carry the COVID-19 virus. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't know how this story is true, but it's like, according to a declaration from Hermano Prado, Assistant Director of the Fresno County Public Health, which was filed in Superior Court. And so you can get these documents and check to see if this is true. Discovered that a room in a warehouse was used to produce COVID-19 and pregnancy tests. In other rooms, investigators found blood, tissue, and other bodily fluid samples. They also found thousands of vials that contained unlabeled fluids. Over 900 mice were located at the facility. Court documents identified Wang Shaolin. No, he's not. Is that Chinese? Wang Shaolin. I'm pretty sure that's Chinese. It's a bat.
Does it matter?
Did this somewhere. I identified Wang Shaolin as the prestige representative on site during the investigation. Jalin informed the investigators that these mice were genetically engineered to catch and carry the COVID-19 virus. Court documents described the conditions under which the mice were housed as inhuman. So we're worried about the freaking housing of the mice.
Yes, of course.
Well, meanwhile, so here's the funny thing. So you've got you're going to own nothing and be happy, right? That's one of the lines from the World Economic Forum. Well, now
Dr. Evil.
Now there's a new article out from them that says psychologists say a good life doesn't have to be happy or even meaningful.
So you. Wow.
Well, it's kind of like I was watching an article this morning on slavery in Scotland, you know, about how they would indenture slaves in the mines. You know, if you were a miner in a coal mine, you couldn't quit. You couldn't go to another job. So they would basically, you know, put you in slavery. And the commentary of one of the guys that was doing the documentary, he says they were talking about Jews, and they said Jews were the first slaves. And you got to think about it. You go, well, wait a minute. I guess that whole exodus out of Egypt. You know,
yeah.
We forgot about that one. And who were the Egyptians? Oh, that's right. They were Africans enslaving the Jews. And my point is that It's been happening everywhere. It doesn't even matter. It's like, it's stupid, you know?
Well, so, it's still, we have more slaves now than any time in history.
That was the other point.
Yep, I saw
another one on Who Do You Think You Are with Emmitt Smith, and he went back in to trace his, you know, Emmitt Smith, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, had, you know, the most yards in any in history as a running back. Well, he goes back and he traces his lineage back to a country in Africa where the slave trade still going on with the human trafficking 100, yes. 200 years yes. later.
Well, and that's my point. These same people, these same organizations like ABC and Disney and the rest of it, oh, they're so wide and open. They're so inclusive. Except, well, you're changing your show and your movies so that you don't end up depicting China in a bad light, even though they've enslaved the Uyghur Muslims and are using them to be able to make solar panels and are harvesting their organs?
The point is, slavery is bad no matter who does it. It's not isolated to one particular race or not. That's the whole point. It's just stupid.
And, of course, Europe virtue signals and says, oh, we're not going to buy these solar panels. As of this date, we're going to make it to where it's illegal to do so. Put in the order over here and buy all of them.
Exactly,
But then when you get a program that comes out like The Sound of Freedom, who's against human trafficking, they blackball the movie.
Oh, yeah, almost 5 years. Yeah.
On mainstream media, Disney blackballed it, wouldn't let it get on. It's completely nuts. So I want to go back to this 900 mice thing because – I can't believe this. It says from May 1st or May 2nd to May 4th, the CDC's Division of Selected Agents and Toxic Inspectors inspection of the court documents confirmed that the CDC found potentially infectious agents at this location in Fresno. These included both bacterial and viral agents, including chlamydia, E. coli, streptococcus, pneumonia, hepatitis C and B, herpes 1 and 5, and rubella, and also found samples of malaria.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. No
Sounds like
problem.
An everyday morning coffee, huh?
Yeah.
Hey,
don't question them.
I'll take mine black.
You racist.
So here's this. Speaking of ABC, I brought them up a minute ago, but disgraced former ABC reporter pleads guilty to child pornography charges, faces at least 5 years in prison. He had pornography depicting something that rhymes with grape of minors under the age of 12, including an infant. Wow. No wonder why they wouldn't end up looking into the Epstein stuff and why they blackballed that. I mean...
Well, while you brought that up, have you seen this rapper Travis Scott post photos of a terrified child with markings to promote new album?
Yeah, that's got to be good.
No. Yeah, no problem. They don't do anything about that.
In other news, Bill Barr says he'll jump off a bridge if Donald Trump wins the GOP 2024 nomination.
We all have hope.
Yay!
But he was appointed by Trump, so he's got to be a good guy, right? I mean... That's the level of stupidity I keep hearing. Oh, well, that judge was appointed by Trump, so that means he's on the up and up. Well, he's on your team. No, it just means he was appointed by Trump. It doesn't mean he's on anybody's team. It means that he could have been corrupted. He could have been grafted. But if he's appointed by Obama, somehow that makes him a Democrat too, I guess. I don't know. It's just stupid. Why don't we look at their decisions instead of who they're appointed by?
There's some really relevant stuff that's going on with DeSantis that's concerning to me because it looks like his own staff and people that are on his team seem to be sabotaging him on social media and other places.
I'm laughing because this headline I just pulled up, Obama spotted a golf course with bandaged fingers days after mysterious paddleboarding accident claims the life of his personal chef and friend.
Oh, that's dark.
It's
kind of
weird.
It's kind of weird.
I saw Dinesh D'Souza's report on that this morning, and it's like there's some weird things about that. I don't know if it has any legs, but it's like, yeah.
That comes from a pretty good source, Gateway Pundit, but I'm just saying it's kind of interesting.
It actually happened. The guy died. There's no question about that. But the circumstances is that the news reports initially said that he couldn't swim, and then there's videos of him swimming. He's a great swimmer, you know, and he was paddleboarding right by evidently Obama's house in Martha's
Vineyard.
Yeah,
how good of a swimmer can you be if somebody's beating you with a paddle? I'm just saying, I don't know.
So there was a police call, apparently, so there would have been a witness. I'm interested in getting the Freedom of Information Act on that police call and finding out.
It's just kind of interesting because you brought up that, you know.
But there is, one of the good things coming out of from DeSantis is that he is vowing to ban central bank digital currency. And rein in the Federal Reserve.
He's obviously Satan.
Yeah. He's against CBDCs.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally against it. Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of the show, so I guess that's it. We'll see you guys next week. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Force like fire is a dangerous servant.
And we'll see y'all next week.
All gun control is racist. See y'all then.
All right.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.